He was about the queerest looking feller I ever seed. His hair was long and black and hung right down to his shoulders. It was freezing weather, but he didn't wear no shoes. And on top of his head, he wore an old tin pot. The only time he ever took it off was when he used it to cook his mush in. The first time I ever seed him, he stuck out his hand and he said,
"Howdy, friend. I'm pleased to make your acquaintance. I'm traveling this way doing business for God and planting some apple trees. My name's John Chapman, but most folks call me Johnny, Johnny Appleseed."
This is Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. Stories out of the great fabric of vision, struggles, and accomplishments of the American past. Stories of our inheritance.
It was somewhere in the year about 1805 that all this commenced that I want to tell you about. Pa, Ma, and me was living along the Cinnamahoning Creek in the Pennsylvania country. Pa had set himself up a grist mill, and we eked out enough to get by, but it wasn't much to brag on. It was getting along toward spring, and Pa sent me out to track down a show to his that got out of the pig pen while we were sleeping. I followed the pig's tracks most of the day, and long towards dusk, I still hadn't caught up with him. I was getting right tuckered out, so I was getting ready to take a rest, when I spied this queer-looking man off in the clearing in the wood. He looked to be planting something, so I went over and made myself known to him.
"Howdy, friend. I'm pleased to make your acquaintance. I'm traveling this way doing business for God and planting some apple trees. My name's John Chapman, but most folks call me Johnny, Johnny Appleseed. Who might you be?"
Will Stevens. My pa owns a grist mill about 5 miles up the river. What you planting, mister?"
"Apple seed, son. This here'll make a prime orchard someday."
"Nobody lives nowhere close here. Just an old empty field. What you putting an orchard here for?"
"Oh, there'll be people here sooner or later. There's pouring out of them eastern cities like water off a duck's back. Heading west."
"Heading for trouble, too. There's been a band of Oswegos in these parts, burning and pilfering. Pa's seen him twice."
"Boy, the Oswegos is a friendly nation. They won't come raiding unless someone provoke them into it."
"They got a grudge against Pa. He shot one of them once for stealing a side of hog meat."
"Oh, it grieved my heart to hear a killing."
"Eh, he wasn't nothing but an Indian."
"He was one of God's children, same as we all be. All living things is God's children."
"Well, I enjoyed talking to you, mister, but I gotta catch up with that shoat before nightfall, or Pop'll skin me."
"Which way do you live, friend? Maybe I'll stop by and plant an apple orchard for your pa."
"It's off that way where you see the..." "Yes. Mister!
There's something's on fire over there."
"That's Pa's place. I gotta get over there."
"Wait a minute, son. I'm coming with you."
It wasn't much use us rushing. By the time we got there, the fire had burned the whole house down, and the mill, too. In the light of the fire, I went around looking for my folks. Pa! Ma! Pa!
Will, son.
"Yes, sir. You seed anything of them?"
"I found them, boy. They're out there, the edge of the creek."
They aren't..."
"Yes, son. Indians."
"Oh, Ma! Pa!"
"I've done some preaching, son. I'll help you with the burying and the words to be said."
"Thank you, sir. Thank you kindly."
"So we commend to thee, O Lord, all that have been mortal of these two poor folks. There was hard and industrious workers and good parents to this boy here. And whilst we mourn their passing, we take comfort in knowing they has reaped their heavenly reward. And they are dancing on thy golden streets tonight. And we will all be reunited on that great morning of judgment. We ask forgiveness for our sins, Lord, and good weather for the growing of apple trees. Amen.
Amen.
What do you aim to do, Will?
I aim to find me a job or work. And when I got me enough money, I'm gonna buy myself a gun. And I'm gonna track down them responsible for killing Pa and Ma.
Son, I know there's bitterness in your heart. But killing ain't going to cure that. Time will make it so it don't hurt so bad. But your folks is happy now. They're going to their reward. Would you want to punish them that sent them there?
I aim to.
Was they all the folks you had in the world?
No. I got some folks out in the Ohio country. Pa got a brother out there. Mr. Buck Stevens.
Well, now, why don't you just fall in company with me? I'm going that way to take care of my orchards. Didn't you ever crave to see the Far West?
One day, maybe I'll see it.
I'm a funny-looking cuss, and I might strike you a little bit demented, but I'm good company for traveling, and I know the way. Come on along with me, Will.
Well, I'll come with you, mister. But I'm coming back here one day. I've got a score to settle.
Well, if you're coming back, I've got some extra saplings. Let's put them in the ground, and when you get back, you'll have an orchard waiting for you.
We set out the apple saplings that night, using all the plants Johnny carried with him. And soon after dark, we went to sleep on the cold ground. I don't remember what time it was, but sometime during the night, I heard...
Will.
What is it?
We better tend to them saplings we set out. There'll be frost come morning.
Oh, boy. It feels like there's frost now. I'm colder than January.
Well, it'll make you warm if you move around. Come on now. We got work to do.
Ain't nothing we can do to them saplings, Johnny. They're gonna freeze. And us, too.
All right, Will. You go on back to sleep.
Like he told me. And next morning when I woke up, the first thing that caught my notice was that orchard of apple settings. Every plant was wrapped in some kind of cloth, and if there weren't no frost on those apple settings, there was plenty on old Appleseed Johnny, because he was squatting over a little fire he made, and he was just one step this side of being naked.
Come on to breakfast, Will. I got some of the best dried apples and cornbread here you ever sunk a tooth into.
But, Johnny, where's your clothes?
My shirt is wrapped around that first row of apple trees. My breeches wrapped around the second row. My long johns is wrapped around that third row, and that fourth row is wearing my socks and my bandana. And a piece of calico I was saving for a friend of mine out west. But them apple trees are saved.
Well, what's that thing you're wearing?
That's my fancy dress suit, boy. What would it look like?
It looked like an old cornmeal sack with holes cut in for your head and arms.
Well, it'd keep off the heat of the day and the cold of night, and by mud hole, I ain't in the fashion business nohow. My business is apple trees.
Johnny, why are you so crazy about apples?
Well, now you sit down there, eat your breakfast, and I'll tell you. How much you know about apples?
Well... There's good eating.
Oh, there's good eating in more ways than you can count. There's applesauce and applejack, apple pie and apple butter, apple cider and apple cheese, apple cake and apple candy, apple wine and apple jelly. And then there's dried apples, stewed apples, preserved apples, fried apples, baked apples, and some likes them fresh off the twig.
Oh, apples make good eating. There ain't no doubt in that.
I figure the Lord must have made apples long about the fifth or sixth day of creation. I can just see him sitting off there on a white cloud saying to himself, now what can I give man that's as round as that pretty earth I made for him? Something with blooms on it, as pretty as this here cloud I'm sitting on. Something that tastes as good as the victuals we get up here in heaven. That's it. I figure the Lord put a heap of thinking into it when he made apples and apple trees.
I can't see what good they're going to do out here. Nobody around to eat them.
Oh, pioneers are coming, son. Folks like your pa, folks like you, folks like me. I foretell a day when folks will push as far west as the Mississippi, maybe farther. And when they've come along this trail, it'll give them heart and courage and something to eat. Find an apple orchard every now and then. Food for them to eat and a beautiful thing to look upon. Until they get here, it'll be food for the deer and such critters. Food for the birds and honeybees.
Oh, boy, the way you go on, I could eat one right here and now.
Yeah. All you got to do is reach in the knapsack, son, and pick yourself out one. Eat it in health and save the seed. And after that, I reckon we ought to be pushing on. There's land to travel and rivers to cross and many a seed to be planted before sundown.
We set out for the western country, traveling by foot and sometimes by raft, but never making as many miles a day as we should have. The reason being that Appleseed Johnny had to stop every time we come to a cleared space where the ground looked rich and plant some apple seeds. Sometimes we'd come upon a cabin, and the folks always knowed him and greeted him by name. They'd ask us in, and he'd spend the day planting them in orchard, and the nights he'd spend reading the Bible out loud. One day, after a long spell of traveling, we came out on a field where a man had a horse chained to a log. The log was too big for three horses to pull, but the horse was straining, but the log wouldn't move.
Get along, dang you! Get along! Get along, you infernal, sway-back, view-minded devil!
Hello there!
Oh!
Howdy, friend. Health to your body, peace to your soul, and life everlasting to all your family. My name is Johnny Appleseed, and this here boy is Will Stevens. That's a fine horse you got there.
Well, he needs a good lashing, and I'm going to give it to him if you don't set to.
Oh, it ain't the horse, friend. It's the log. Take two horses to pull that load.
He can pull it. He's just lazy.
Why don't you split the log? Will and me, he'll help you.
I ain't got no time for such foolishness. This here's what that horse needs.
Oh, mister, will you...
Move, you wrong bone canker with it, slow shank. Boom, move. Yeah, you let go of that whip. What in tarnation's eating you?
Mister, I'd be right beholden to you if you wouldn't whip that horse no more.
I'll whip my horse any time it please me. Now let go of that whip or I'll let you have it, you bow-legged old skinflint.
Friend, I'll make you bargain.
Let go of that whip. That's all a bargain I'm making.
How much is this critter worth to you?
Worth a fortune.
Name a sum.
You wouldn't have that kind of money.
Well, you ain't named no amount. Try me.
$50.
It's a bargain.
Let me see your money.
Let's see here. I stuffed some money in this here knapsack one time. Here it is. $50, you say.
You never seed that much money.
10, 20, 30, 40, 50. 50. There you are, my friend. Now, if you'll unhitch my horse, Will and me'll be heading west.
He's all yourn, mister. And now that you bought him, you might as well know. He ain't got a tooth in his head.
Oh, that don't make no never mind, son. Neither have I. Will, you ever rid a horse?
Sure.
Well, hop up there, boy, and get comfortable.
Give me a hand, Johnny.
Up you go. Well, I reckon this noble critter can carry two as skinny as us. A good day, dear friend.
Here. How I know this money's any good?
Try spending it, sir. Get that horse.
Johnny.
Yes, sir?
Was the money any good?
Oh, of course it was. Father gave it to me once for putting in an orchard for him.
How come you didn't offer to put down an orchard for that fellow we got the horse from?
Well, he wasn't the right kind of man for apple trees, Will. Apple trees takes tending. A little love, a little caring for you. Got to sit up with him and watch him grow.
Oh, You planted plenty of trees and just left them.
Well, I'll get back to see them, see how they're getting along. Takes traipsing, son. Takes traipsing.
Never seen nobody like Johnny for going out of his way to keep from hurting things. I remember one night, it was way after dark before we stopped. We built a fire to cook supper. Well, Johnny took the old cooking pot off his head and was getting ready to boil some hominy over the fire when...
Yeah, Will. Will?
Yes, sir.
Come here, Will, and help me put this fire out.
What's the matter?
Well, it's attracting mosquitoes too near the flame, and it's burning the wings.
Well, that's a good way to get rid of the pesky things.
Boy, bring me some water.
All right, Johnny, but I don't see no point in not killing them. They'll like as not try to eat us up before morning anyway.
Let me have that water.
Oh, now how are we going to cook supper?
We're going to have a cold supper. Son, don't you know what it say in the Bible?
Says a whole lot of things in the Bible.
Says thou shalt not kill. That don't just say thou shalt not kill your fellow man or animals or plants. Says thou shalt not kill, and that means everything. Everything God made.
Well, you killed a rattlesnake once. You told me.
And I told you at the time. I've been grieving about it ever since. I done it in a fit of nervousness. When I looked down and saw him taking a swipe at my naked foot. I killed that rattler, all right, but I lived to regret it. Many's a night I've laid awake and thought about it. If God made rattlesnakes, he must have made them with a purpose. And I got no right to go around killing them.
All the same, I don't like it. Sitting here in the dark with no fire, no telling what might creep up on us.
Well, there ain't a thing to be afraid of, Will. Animals ain't gonna harm you. There ain't no animal even going to come around unless we call him.
How you going to call him?
Want me to call you an animal?
What you going to call?
Well, I'll call you Bob White. I can call a Bob White right to my foot here.
Oh, let's see you.
You hear that, Will? That's old Bob White. He thinks there's another bird up here. Watch him come closer.
He's real close now, Johnny.
Oh, I can get him closer yet, boy. Just keep quiet.
Johnny!
Oh, tarnation, boy, you scared him.
Johnny, something moved over there, right by the creek.
Well, it was that Bob White. You hollered and scared him off.
No. It wasn't no bird. It looked like a man. I just seed him for a second. Well,
couldn't no man creep up this close on us unless he was a born hunter. No Indian would.
Oh, Johnny! Johnny!
Hold the hands, you heathens! Stand ye back or I'll call down the wrath of a medicine more powerful than your most mighty men!
Medicine Man John.
What's your name? Too dark to see your face.
Eagle Wing.
Oh, Eagle Wing and Johnny Friend.
Eagle Wing and Johnny Friend.
Is this any way to show you're a friend? Coming here raiding our camp?
Johnny make good medicine for Eagle Wing woman.
But Eagle Wing wear war paint.
Eagle Wing make war. Eagle Wing not make war with Medicine Man John.
Eagle Wing make war with who?
Eagle Wing make war with all white man, not Medicine Man John. Medicine Man John not stay in white man house. Stay in woods. Stay here. Stay friend with Eagle Wing.
All right, Eagle Wing, we stay friends. So tell your friends to let the boy go. He's friend too.
Let boy go.
Thank you, Eagle Wing.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Johnny, How come they didn't kill us?
Them Indians think I'm a medicine man. I made a poultice for that Eagle Wing squaw once and made her well. We've been friends ever since.
What are they mad about?
I don't know, but we better get going. Innocent folks will be murdered tonight unless we get to them before them savages.
We rid up and down all that night and all the next day. And every time we'd come to a cabin, Johnny would jump off his horse and bang on the door.
Who's there?
Johnny! Johnny Appleseed!
Johnny! Johnny, what's the matter waking folks this time of night?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to blow the trumpet. Behold, the tribes of the heathen are around about your door.
Oh, stay with us, Johnny. We'll need help.
Where's your nearest neighbor?
2 miles down the trail. Follow the creek.
The Lord be with you. Let's go, Will. Get there, Paul.
We didn't leave that part of the country until we had warned everybody around about the Indians on the warpath. After that, we headed west, and finally we came to Marietta, Ohio, which was a fair-sized city by then. Johnny had given his horse away to a poor man we came across, so we was afoot when we finally came to the house of Mr. Buck Stevens, my uncle.
Well, son, looks like we found you folks.
Johnny, let's just rest a spell, then push on.
Oh, son, these are your folks. They're going to be mighty put out if you don't stay a spell with them.
I want to go with you.
How to do?
How to do to you, ma'am. I'm looking for the house of Mr. Buck Stevens.
Well, this is Buck Stevens' house. I'm Miss Stevens.
I'm Johnny Appleseed, ma'am.
Well, land sakes, I've heard of you, Mr. Appleseed, but I never thought to lay eyes on you. They claimed you never set foot in cities if you could help it. That you wear a tin pot on your... Well, I do vow and declare if you don't. Come on in the house and tell me the story of your life.
Thank you, ma'am, but I'll just stand outside if you don't mind. Houses discomfort me somehow. The man in the house home?
He is. Buck! Buck Stevens!
Huh?
Come on out here. It's Johnny Appleseed, and he's asking for you. Yes, sir, Mr. Appleseed. There's an orchard not far from here folks claim you planted. It's just coming to fruit this year, and I went out and picked me nearly a bushel of the prettiest wine saps you ever laid eyes on. I want to thank you.
Who'd you say it was, Martha?
Mr. Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed.
How do you do, sir? I'm glad to make your acquaintance.
I'm glad to make yours, Mr. Stevens, and I reckon you don't know this boy here.
I've seen that face somewhere, but I can't put no name to it. What's your name, son?
Will. Will Stevens.
Got a brother named Will Stevens, back on the Cinnamahoning Creek in Pennsylvania.
Your brother's gone to heaven, Mr. Stevens, and his lady along with him. This here boy and me fell in company, and since you was the only folks he had left, we thought you might want to give him a raisin.
How did my brother...
In a raid, sir.
I'm eternally grateful to you, Mr. Appleseed.
Well, now, just call me Johnny.
I'm eternally grateful to you, Johnny. And Will, we're glad to have you. This will be your home from now on. Martha?
Well, I always fancied having a little boy, but never thought the Lord would give me such a dirty one. You come with me, boy, and I'll give you a scrubbing down.
Johnny.
Yes, sir?
Can I go with you?
Now, son, you stay here with your new folks. I'll come back this way one of these days, pick you up, and we'll go back over our tracks and take a look at them orchards we put down on the way out here.
I want to go with you now.
Well, I'd be proud to have you. You've been a heap of company to me. But you stay here and grow a while. One day you look up, and there I'll be with my appleseed bag slung over my shoulder and news fresh from heaven, and off we'll go, spreading the word of God and apple trees. Is the bargain?
Well, I reckon.
Well, I'll be pushing on.
Johnny, we'd be proud to have you rest a spell with us.
Well, that's right, Mr. Appleseed. We'd admire right much to have you spend the night. Got a good extra bed.
Well, thank you for your hospitality, ma'am, and you too, sir. But I never spent a night in a bed in my life. Somehow my bones just naturally fit on the ground. But I would like to leave you these apple seeds to start you an orchard with. Will they'll show you how to plant them.
Much obliged.
Entirely welcome, sir. May the light of God shine on your house forever, and his blessing fall like rain on your children. Goodbye to you, Will.
Johnny, where are you going?
They say that west of here is land no white man has seen. Folks get a little nervous in a country like that. I'll set out some apple trees so they won't feel so scared. Might make it seem a little more home-like when they get there, find an apple tree growing along the way. Somebody's been here, they'll say. A friend passed this way. Well, so long, folks.
So long, Johnny.
God bless you.
Uncle Buck, I want to go with him.
He'll keep his word, Will. He'll be back someday. You can go with him when you're bigger. Wave back. See, he's waving to you.
Bye, Johnny.
Crazy old man.
Is he really crazy, Uncle Buck?
Son, if you'll study your history, you'll find lots of men in their day was thought to be crazy, and 100 years later was called saints.
You think Johnny Appleseed's a saint?
Let's just say what we know, son. He was a good man who loved his God and his country. He traveled far, and wherever he went, he left a kind deed, the word of God, and an apple tree.
You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. And now it's our privilege to hear from the chairman of the Public Relations Commission of the Legion, Mr. Dan Daniel. Mr. Daniel.
We can preserve the inheritance which is ours as Americans only as we produce new citizens who are alert and imbued with love of country. The American Legion has long believed that busy, interested children are good children, that the problem commonly referred to as juvenile delinquency is frequently caused by the boredom which results from a lack of constructive, stimulating things to do. The youth programs of the American Legion are designed to teach a positive Americanism through healthy participation in education, sport, and hobby activities. One of these activity plans, which is rapidly growing in popularity, is the Legion's Model Airplane Program, designed to provide an attractive and popular form of recreation for the youth of America, encourage safe and skillful building and flying through the competitive spirit of model airplane contest, give creative outlet for the air-minded interests of today's youth. Under the leadership of qualified legionnaires, youngsters throughout the country are forming model airplane clubs. Some of the models made by these groups are masterpieces of construction and engineering skill. The American Legion is proud of this and other thoughtfully designed youth programs which give young Americans the opportunity for interesting, creative use of their abundant energies. Through such programs, today's children develop the initiative, sturdy self-reliance, and confidence necessary for good citizenship. Our inheritance of freedom, prosperity, and representative government will be preserved if such good citizenship is universally encouraged in the youth of our land.
Thank you, Mr. Daniel. Next week, Inheritance will take you on another journey through the pages of American history. Today's story was written by Earl Hamner. Included in the cast were John McGovern as Johnny Appleseed, with Alice Uhrman, Tom Charlesworth, Dick Hamilton, Frank Behrens, and Frank Gerow. David Pfeffer played Will. Inheritance was produced by William Welch and directed by Daniel Sutter. This is Dick Dudley.
Enjoy fine variety entertainment on the Dennis Day Show, to most, today over most NBC stations.